The title is The Gift That Is In You. The Gift That Is In You. So if you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, we'll look at verses 14 and 15. Paul speaking to Timothy, and he says to him, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things and give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all." So Paul here is talking about a gift that was given to Timothy that he seems to have neglected. The word neglect means to ignore or to be careless about. So Paul here is implying that Timothy has not given the gift that he received from God through the prophetic ministry of the eldership and the laying on of hands the proper attention that it deserves. And as a result of that, the gift lies dormant or inactive. You can receive a gift from God that will just lie dormant in you and do nothing. Absolutely nothing for as long as you ignore it. And this is a good preamble to the healing course, because I will be talking about how the power of God, the healing power of God, can go into your body, into your soul, and just lie there and do nothing until you decide to do something about it. But here, the gift that he's talking about is not a healing gift. So Paul is saying to Timothy, you've let this go. He further implies that this neglected, ignored gift will produce nothing in or through Timothy's life until he stops neglecting it. Understand that the gift does not have the power in and of itself to just keep working. It doesn't. That's not how it operates. The gift, even the gift of God, received, passed into you, can and will lie dormant or inactive until you make a decision to do something about it. The New Living Translation Study Bible identifies the spiritual gift specifically mentioned here by Paul as charisma, and points out that it is the Holy Spirit's enablement for ministry. Now, whatever the gift is, and there's much speculation about what it is, could be a gift of evangelism, the gift of the word of wisdom, gift of wisdom, a gift of hospitality, gifts of healings. It could be any number of things that have been given, because every one of us has been given something. What we do with the gift, what we do with it, is up to us. Until we decide to embrace it, and I'm going to talk about how we do that, and do something about it, God does not make us do anything. So we need to understand that when God gives us something, He is not responsible to keep it working. And the gift itself is not responsible to keep itself working. You and I, we are the ones who have been given the responsibility of keeping what God gives active and working, simply by refusing to ignore it, to neglect it, or to be careless about it. The next portion of Scripture, again in Timothy, because he doesn't seem to have gotten the message the first time, is in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Now, this is the second time that Paul talks to Timothy about the gift. gift that Timothy had been given through the laying on of hands. However, this time, Paul uses a bit of a stronger phrase than he did in 1 Timothy 4. He says, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." He's not just telling him here not to neglect it. He's saying to him, you need to stir it up. You do. Not God for you, but you yourself need to stir up the gift that has been given to you. Now, we look a little bit further here at verse 7. He says, For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So perhaps that's a clue as to why Timothy hasn't stirred it up. He's afraid. He is afraid of what may happen when he stirs up the gift. He may be afraid of the rejection or the attacks that come to him. He may be simply just afraid. People will laugh. I don't know what he's afraid of, but he has not moved into using the gift that God has given him through prophecy and laying on of hands. And that gift needs to be stirred up in order to produce the benefits of that gift. Now, the phrase here, stirred up, implies to arouse from dormancy. So what we're seeing here is the gift is still dormant. It's still in him, but it's still dormant. And the gifts that you and I have received, the talents, the abilities, the things that God has given us, he's going to look to see if there's any fruit. Does that sound scriptural? Parable of the talents. You know, what did you do with your talent? Well, I went and hid it. You and I will give an account to God for what we've done with what he gave us. And so sometimes we don't even know what the gift is. So what do we do then? What do we do when we don't know what the gift is? Ask who? A little bit louder. That sounds like a good plan. Go ahead.
Ask the Lord to either show you, remind you, or bring it to your memory again, so you grab a hold of it. Because if you don't get it the first time,
amen. Ask God. Ask God. Ask people you trust. People around you that know you well. What gift do you see in me? What particular talent do you see in me? But most important, for you yourself to seek God with it. Seek God. Because you need to know within your own heart what God is asking you to do. See, the gift didn't leave Timothy just because he didn't keep it active. It didn't leave, and it won't.
John, he was actively in ministry and doing a lot of good things in the ministry.
Yes, he was. He was in the ministry and doing things.
Which is interesting because it can mean that you can be fruitful and be working for the Lord and be operating in a measure of the anointing and still neglecting
the gift that God has given you. Yeah. Good point. She got that from me. It's true. You can be in ministry and doing things and that, but you're not doing the thing God has called you to do. What's God called you to do? What's he asking you to do? What's he stirring up inside of you? Because you'll have a desire to do the thing that God is asking you to do. He'll put the desire in you as well. Now that gift could have been stirred up anytime. Anytime. Anytime Timothy wanted to, it could have been stirred up. Now he could wait 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years, or forever and do nothing about it. But it's always there waiting. It's there waiting to be stirred up. But you're in charge. You're in charge. Now you don't own the gift. God does. But it's up to you to cooperate with him to stir that gift up. Stir it up. You know, sometimes you hear people pray, God, make me blah, blah, blah. And I think to myself, no, he's not. He's not going to do that. I usually don't say anything about it, but I know he's not going to, because, for example, people talk about the love of God and give us more love, God, give us more love. Do you know that's not scriptural? That's not scriptural. Why isn't that scriptural? He's already given it to us. Romans 5:5. He's already given you all the love you're going to get. God already gave it to you. Now it's up to you to do with whatever you're going to do with it. You have the love of God inside of you, and you can choose to stir that up and to let yourself be given to that, embrace it, and I'll show momentarily how we do that. Or you can choose not to. Or you can choose to do a little bit, or choose not to do it all. The love of God is in you, waiting to be stirred up. So how do we stir it up? Boy, it's not a good question. How do we stir it up? How do we stir up the gift of God in us? We can shout and dance. Is that stirred up? No. You know, the wonderful thing about Scripture is he tells us how to. You know? You don't even have to be smart to do this. He tells us how to do it. 1 Timothy chapter 4, go back to chapter 4. In verse 14 he says, don't neglect the gift. In verse 15 he says, how not to neglect the gift. How do I not neglect the gift? I meditate on it. Meditate on these things. I meditate on what things? The gift. Meditate on the gift that God has given to you. Meditate on the love of God that is in your heart. Meditate on the scripture that you are. See, this is applicable right across the board. Meditate on the scripture that you need God to do something. But you meditate on the gifts. Timothy was told to meditate on the gift that God had given him through the laying on of hands. So when you meditate on something, you ponder about it, don't you? You think about it. You think about it. You muse over it. What has God given me? He's given me the, you find out what the gift is, then you think, okay, how does this operate? You know? What does this mean? That I have the gift of hospitality. Well, I don't, by the way, but if you had the gift of hospitality, that you have people over regularly and you enjoy having that. It doesn't mean that you won't have annoying people come over. In fact, rest assured, you will have some that are annoying. But that doesn't mean you don't have the gift. Because the gift has to be developed. It has to be developed. You have the gift of mercy. And the gift of, you know, having grace over people that others are kind of going, God, give me a break. But you have mercy over them because you have that gift flowing through. But you have to give yourself to that gift. Well, that's my next point. When you meditate on it, you're spending time and thinking about the gift and the blessing that God has put into your life. Now, the second thing he told him to do, again in verse 15, meditate on these things. That's number one. Give yourself. Now, what's that word after? Say it again. Entirely. What does that mean? Entirely. That changes the sentence quite a bit, doesn't it? If I said to you, give yourself to the gift, you hear something. But if I say, give yourself entirely to this gift. Do you hear something different? Why do you think that is? Why is he saying to him, give yourself entirely?
So you give yourself to it, you develop, you don't like it.
Okay. What else?
Enjoying the action.
Okay.
If you invest partially, you only need partially.
Okay, good. That's all good.
Don't hold back.
Don't hold back. Give yourself entirely to this.
There
will be opposition. Absolutely, there will be opposition. There will be. When you give yourself entirely to something, that is a unique circumstance, isn't it? In other words, you're not allocating 15 minutes a day to this. The gift that God gives you, the talent, the ability, whatever it is God has given you, the love of God shed into your heart, if you give yourself entirely to the love of God, what will happen? What does it mean to give yourself entirely to the love of God? Okay. What else? Give yourself entirely to the love of God. I'm using that because it's a one that's easy to work with.
That's because that also because some things which you could call gifts like love are given to every person.
That's why I'm using it. That's why I'm using it. When you give yourself entirely, okay, you give yourself entirely to golf. Yeah. What do you do? What's the first thing you're going to do?
Dress like a pro.
Dress like a pro. Okay.
Hire a personal trainer.
Okay.
Buy the best clubs.
Buy the best clubs. Before all of that. Before all of that.
Read all about it.
Say it again.
Read all about it.
You find out what it means. What does this mean? I give myself entirely to playing chess. I'm going to find out how to play chess. I'm going to find out how to golf. I'm going to find out how and what the love of God is. Because some people make their own definition. The love of God means I don't beat your face in when you annoy me. Some believe that. Some believe that. You see, the love of God means that I forgive you the first two times you annoy me and then we're done. We make up our own definition of things rather than going to Scripture and seeing how does God define this? How does God define His love? So we find out what it means. When you give yourself entirely to that gift, you're investing everything. Everything. Every part of you is invested in that. You are consumed with knowing about it. You're consumed with knowing about it. You must know everything there is to know about this particular gift. You dedicate yourself. You dedicate your time to it. You dedicate everything and your attention is fixed on this gift. It's fixed on it. And the thing that you give yourself entirely to will captivate your attention so deeply that you're going to have to tell others about it. If you're consumed with something, if you have given yourself entirely to something, it's only natural that you've got to tell somebody else about it. You have to tell somebody. It just oozes out all by itself, doesn't it? It just oozes out. It's got to come out. Is that scriptural? Yes, it is. How do you know? Because we go back to verse 15. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to this so that your progress may be so that everybody can see whether it's working in you or not and to what degree. Isn't that what it's saying? Your progress may be evident to all. Your progress is the proof, or lack thereof, of whether you've given yourself entirely to the gift. They may or may not. You want them to. Yeah, but yes. Pardon me? Oh, yes. Some may be. Mine wasn't. So that's why I'm having some difficulty with this, because that was my situation in hockey, and I was told flat out, we don't have time or money for that. So to think that you are going to be supported and assume that, if you assume that you're going to be and you're not, you don't give up. You see, you don't give up. When God gives you a gift, rest assured, it will be challenged. It will be challenged, Dorothy.
It says you're persevering then because you do.
Yes, my next point. Yes, got a girl, yeah. You have to persevere because the enemy does not want whatever gift you have from God to operate. He doesn't want it to operate. He doesn't want you to move forward in that gifting. He doesn't want the love of God to flow through you. He doesn't want you to have the love of God working in you. So he's going to do everything he can to put miserable people in your neighborhood, in your family, all around you, people you work with, who will test that, who will try that. And you'll have to make a real decision to give you. That's why it says give yourself entirely. Because if you only try it out, it won't work. You'll quit. You'll quit because there will be opposition no matter what gifting God gives you. And we all have gifting. Every one of us has some gifting of one type or another. And God isn't going to... The problem is for some folks, though, is that I don't want my gift, I want yours. I want your gift. Because I think it's better.
But if you persevere in that, that's kind of like a nightmare.
Yes.
Because yeah.
The Bible says your gift makes room for you. The thing is that's why you've got to be connected to God. Because if it's God, you're going to be tested. If it's not God, you're really going to be tested. We need to know. Because that's what God's going to evaluate you on. Did you use what I gave you? And it's up to you and I to stir that up. It's up to us. It's up to us. I believe I have been called to the area of healing. When I first started to study that area, you cannot imagine the opposition that came against me. You can't imagine it. It is unbelievable to think of how born-again, spirit-filled Christians could be so discouraging to a new Christian who's trying to learn an area in God. It was absolutely overwhelming. And if I wasn't such a stubborn person, I would have quit long time ago. We need to give ourselves entirely to what God has called you to do. What God has gifted you to be able to do. Because that gift, that calling, that ability, that talent will be so opposed by the devil and even by well-intentioned Christians who think they know God better than you do. Yes, sir.
God's opposition.
Well, it would be actually a really good question. Any thoughts on that? Yes. Oh, stand up and give us the question good and loud. That's a good question.
Say it was not my gift, but I thought it was. Then how would I know the difference between the world's or the devil's opposition and God's opposition that appears in one individual? How would I differentiate that?
That's a good question, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what's the answer? Yes, dear, you go ahead.
Because I've come across this before, and I probably only have a portion of the answer, but my part of the answer is that number one, the devil always uses condemnation. So he will find a way to make you feel bad about yourself. Okay? God, even though he may counsel you that this is not your gift, will always show you then what it is. What is your gift? Encourage you. And if you're getting counsel from someone, like someone may be in bed and this might get you, whatever. If I felt in my heart that isn't, I know because I've experienced it many times, the Lord will give you wisdom to say something to you that fills you up and moves you toward the right thing. Even if I don't know what that is, you won't go away from the counsel with God's feeling, despair, hopelessness, you know, that you're a worm, that you're no good. That's hard.
In addition to that, yes, sir.
In addition to that, the worldly gift that you put, you know, that's not yours, will always lead you to frustration, despair, and anxiety. There's no peace in it. Godly gift will always be led by the Spirit. There'll be a bouncing your step. There'll be a joy. There's always looking forward to that gift that God is giving you. It's two different. One, frustration, despair, because you're leading by your own strength. Godly gift is being led by the Spirit. It's joy.
And in addition, if you say, think for example, you have the gift of teaching, and you try that out, and people have that glazed look, and they're bored, and they can't wait for it to be over, and you discover they've learned nothing. And this happens for 3 years in a row, you might think, I don't think I have this gift. There should be evidence. If you have a gift, there should be evidence. For example, some think, well, I have the gift of prophecy. Well, then there should be evidence of that. There should be evidence that is confirmed that prophetic word, first of all, prophecy edifies, so there has to be certain guidelines, but it also has to be affirmed and confirmed by those who are around you and who have a spiritual maturity. If you think you have the gift of healing, praying for the sick, and no one you pray for ever gets healed, well, actually, that's not scriptural either, because we need to be praying for the sick and believing. But if it's not happening on a somewhat regular basis, then we need to be open that it's not. It is, your gift makes room for you, and it's something you will enjoy doing, typically, and that it will be affirmed by those around you. They will see that gift in you, and you will have the peace of God in your spirit over it, but don't think that it will never be challenged, because it will be challenged. The fact that you have opposition does not mean you don't have the gift. The devil does not want to see any one of us operate in the gifting that we have. He doesn't want to see anybody operate in it. But there needs to be confirmation in that gift. For example, if you think you have the gift of hospitality and you can't stand having people around you and they just annoy you, you probably don't have that gift. That's the. It may, yeah. Well, that's what I think Timothy here. Is that the gift that was spoken over him, and it was given by prophecy, so they told him what it was, scared him. At least it looks that way from 2 Timothy 1:7. So that you may initially be intimidated and in fear of that. And I understand that because I was originally told I had the gift of teaching, and public speaking was something that I wouldn't do if my life depended on it. You know, I mean, it was just absolutely terrorized me. Terrorized. It took a long time to get over it. A long time. So it really is a seeking of God, and then a confirmation that the gift operates, and affirmed by others about you. You know, if everywhere that I taught, people said to me, "Boy, this is the most boring thing. I can't stand this. Is it ever going to end?" Then I would be rethinking it. Does that make sense?
There's also a little idea that in corporate grace, knowing the difference between corporate grace, like we're all called to lay hands on the sick, and someone who has a special gift of like they lay hands on the sick and healing happens somewhat regularly, like you said. Like some people cough out because they don't have the gift, where there's something that we're called to, like love.
And we're all called to be willing to share our testimony in Christ. We're all called for that. But it's scary sometimes to do that. And you face rejection. People don't like it. They don't want to hear it. I remember when I first got saved, a fellow who was a good friend of mine, Jewish fellow, actually said to me, "If you don't stop talking about Christ, you and I are finished." Well, I didn't tell him any more about Jesus at that point. We're still finished because we're not friends anymore anyway. But it is, whatever God has put in you, it still needs to be stirred up, no matter what it is. Whatever the gift, it's got to be stirred up. It's got to be. And in the stirring up, how do we do that? Well, we meditate on it. We must give ourselves to it. We start to see results coming up. I won't say practice it, but I sort of mean practice it in that in giving ourselves to it, we start to do it and see the results therein. Does that make sense? God has given you maybe a number of gifts. Some got more than others. What we do with them is up to us. How we give ourselves to them. We need to first identify what they are and then give ourselves to them so that they can begin to manifest ourselves. You know? I mean, it really is, it is a gift, is given, but is also developed. It's developed over time. And it's developed by practice, by doing it over and over again. You know? It's like when a nurse gives you an injection. You don't want someone who's giving their first injection giving you one. You want someone who's been doing it for 40 years. Properly. Some think they do it properly and don't. So it is really, it's a learning experience. But as we stay close to God, He'll lead us. And it'll be confirmed by those around you. You know, they'll confirm that. Normally. Amen. So Lord, help us. God, help us. Help us. We bless you this morning, Lord. We bless you. And I just have a sense from the Lord that this might be an opportune moment for some of us to connect with God over this, because we're not totally sure what our gift is, or maybe we've neglected it a little bit, but we want to move forward in our gifting. Whatever God's called us to do, we want to. We want to move forward in it. And if that speaks to you, and you would like to be anointed, then I'd be more than happy to do so.